we shall be looking at two Old Testament characters today, learning, I hope, quite different things from them. They, of course, lived in a society totally different to ours. This morning, we're going to look at a man named Enoch. Back in the days before the flood, society was, of course, nothing like ours today. Mankind lived much longer, and lifestyle was developing over the generations. But I believe we can learn from these men. Abel, for instance, teaches us how we should present ourselves in whole life service with promise of atonement. In the time of Enosh, we didn't read all of the chapters with those generations, but in the time of Enosh, we're told that men began to call on the name of the Lord. Prayer was beginning to come into people's lives. But we move quickly on to Enoch, and he teaches us how we should walk, how we should walk out our Christian service. Three things about Enoch. First, Enoch, the patriarch. We read the verses. Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And he lived another 800. And then Enoch begat Methuselah. Methuselah is the longest recorded living man. Many say 999 years. Well, they're wrong. It was 969 years. That's still a long while to live, isn't it? He saw some things in his life, as indeed did all those patriarchs. But Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Although these patriarchs lived in a totally different society, they had the same problems: sin and rebellion. How up to date can we get? People say the Bible is old-fashioned and out of date. I suggest to you it's the most up-to-date book in the world. Sin and rebellion. Let's just look at those ages. Adam 930, Seth 912, Enosh 905, Canaan 910, Mahalalel 895, Jared 962, Lamech 777, Noah 950, Enoch 365. He was only a boy, wasn't he? Well, what are the days of Enoch like? When Enoch was born, Adam had been dead 57 years, and Noah was born 69 years after Enoch died. These people could pass on information for hundreds of years. But Enoch had a son called Methuselah. Now, Methuselah, like a lot of the Old Testament names, had a meaning. And the meaning of the word Methuselah is there will be a sending forth. We say a flood. And the flood came the year that Methuselah died. What was life like in those days? Pretty bad. Lust was the basis of marriage. Genesis 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all they chose. Long life added to sin, so that God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. 120 years before he destroyed the world, God warned the world. And Enoch named his son that all those years afterwards, this world would be destroyed. Had plenty of warning. Violence was everywhere. God saw that the wickedness of man was great, that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. I say again, how up to date is this book? Do we not see it everywhere today? It is thought that Enoch was a priest because he said to be walking with God, and that was an expression used to describe that office. We have it in 1 Samuel where God is speaking to Eli about his forebears, and he says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But you see, in those early days of history, people didn't fully understand that death is not inevitable. There is life after death. Isn't that the same today? People say exactly the same thing. Well, when you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing after that. Just drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die and that's the end of it all. Not heeding God's laws. Nothing much has changed down the generations. But Enoch was an example to the people of his generation, teaching them that death is not the end, but the beginning. His father was Jared. And Jared would have known Adam. So Adam would have explained all that happened in the Garden of Eden. So Enoch would have found out from his dad, no doubt. The fall had its effect on the population, and they assumed death was now all they could expect. Sin, having separated from God, resulted in final separation. To them, there was no way back to God. But Enoch didn't die. He was, as the scriptures put it, translated. He just wasn't there anymore. That taught that sin can be forgiven. The death penalty could be remitted. He was a well-known man. After all, he lived 365 years. He would have seen many generations, but he didn't die. And that was a picture to his contemporaries that death was not inevitable. There is a way to be reconciled to God. The only other death recorded, as far as I know, in that part of Scripture is that of Abel. And that was in violent circumstances. There is another world. It showed that around him there was a spiritual world. Enoch's life continued in the presence of God. It says that he went and was with God. But God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And the grand finale of the life of faith is to be forever in the presence of God. We're told that Enoch pleased God. And the only way to please God is to have faith. When Christians pass away, we perhaps say the expression, they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. I do not like that expression that some use nowadays. Oh, we gave them a good send-off. I shiver when I hear that. That's what the world says. Surely we should be more respectful of a Christian passing into the presence of his or her Saviour. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what happened to Enoch. Enoch the patriarch. But Enoch was not only a devout patriarch, he was a fearless preacher. I read the letter of Jude. It says there that Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." That is a quotation from a book written by Enoch, but it's not in the canon of Scripture. And it's interesting that Jude regarded it as true. So what was Enoch's message? Remember the circumstances in which he's preaching. There's violence everywhere. There's immorality. There's ungodliness. There's filth. He tells them of the coming judge. He speaks of the gathering of the saints, the conversion of sinners, the ungodliness of the people. That is the message that should be preached today. The judge is still coming. When you think about it, he was saying these things before the flood. Thousands of years ago, Enoch was saying what we would say, Jesus is coming again. Of course, he couldn't say that, because Messiah hadn't come for the first time, and he's going to gather his saints. Sinners will be converted. Ungodly people will be punished. I think it quite remarkable that he had that faith to say those things in those far off days. But who were the people? Well, verse 7 speaks of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11 speaks of those who follow Cain. And verse 11 also, those who are adherents of Balaam and Korah. If we just take the one, the inhabitants of Sodom, I don't need to explain to you what that means. Is it not on the increase in our society in an alarming way? You can hardly pick a newspaper up without some reference to some depraved act. And even our statute book now says, it's fine, just carry on. All of this is just an alternative lifestyle. And our little children are being taught that there's nothing wrong. It's how you are. We read only yesterday that Brighton Borough Council is asking its staff to have a badge on them which says what they want to be called. A man, a woman, or a what? I'm glad I'm out of local government today. Can we not expect judgment? These were the kind of people Enoch was preaching to and telling them God would judge their ungodly ways. How did he manage to survive in such an ungodly age? Well, we know he had faith, because Hebrews 11 says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. He travelled with God through life. At the end was triumphant over death. As far as we know, he didn't have any superpowers or experiences, but he lived the simple life as we can and should, in harmony with God. He may never have been told that he pleased God, but he had that inner persuasion, and he lived out his life, the life of faith. When it says that Enoch walked with God, it means he walked habitually with God. He continued on and on walking with God every day. It wasn't just a fleeting experience. It was a daily experience. Enoch, the patriarch. Enoch, the preacher. But what about Enoch, the person? I quoted Hebrews 11:5. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What will your testimony and my testimony be when we've passed away? If you go around a graveyard, you'll very often find little epitaphs that say, with the Lord, at peace, now at rest, such things as that. A man did that once and looked at his friend when he came out and simply said, where are the wicked buried? Lots of good words are said. The testimony for Enoch was, pleased God. Live close to Jesus if you want to please God, as Enoch did. Run away from sin and do all you can to please him. He walked with God every day. Now, walking is an action. You can't walk sitting down. It's doing things which are in a motion. But that doesn't mean we have to run around doing all sorts of things for the Lord, as some people say, although it will include that. Enoch was a living witness. He lived with a different person to the others of his generation. And when we walk with Jesus, we shall do what he does. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did, John reminds us in his first letter. He lived a different life. Although he was amongst all the depravity that surrounded him, he walked in a new life. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Walking in newness of life. Enoch lived with a different confidence. Some people are very confident, aren't they? We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Look at the world leaders today. Two in particular I'm thinking of, and perhaps you are too. I can blow you apart, I can blow you apart even more. These awful things that are said, arrogance walking about. They say they're confident. Well, they may be in their own eyes. Therefore, we are also confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. That doesn't mean to say that we walk blindly. Some people seem to have that idea, oh, I'm walking by faith. Faith is an active grace. Enoch lived a spiritual life. We still live in this world, and we have our aims and future in the world to come. He lived a worthy life. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, said Paul to the church at Ephesus. Yes, it's right to do well in this world and to get on and be a good citizen of society. But let's aim for things that excel in the world to come. He lived a loving life. Why do I say that? He saw these people in their ungodly state and he told them, don't be like that. His love for sinners must have overflowed. Not sentimentalism, but compassion. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. But he lived a cautious life. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. You see, our enemy, and he must have had thousands of enemies, our enemy is always ready to strike. Some of us may have preached for a few years. Enoch preached for 300 years. Let's walk in fellowship with Christians. I'm sure there were some in his day who listened to his words. We have no record of that. And if we claim to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. Do we try to speak to one another or just go off after the service? You cannot walk with God if you don't walk in harmony with other believers. But what did Enoch become? Well, he progressed. As I suggested, walking is not standing still. When we walk with the Lord, it's inevitable that we grow in grace. Enoch moved from hearing about the fall from his father and however many greats back, great-grandfather. He moved from that to telling people the effect of it. This is shown when it's seen that Enoch was fruitful. How do you get into the position described by Jude? Now, God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Measure your growth by your fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all those others. As one man said, one fruit and seven flavours. The more we are loving and caring for others, the more the Lord will give us to do that. Let me ask you a question. Do you love the Lord more today than you did a year ago. It's a testing question, isn't it? Have you progressed? Have I progressed? I remember as a little boy listening to a man who was old enough to be my grandfather then. And he said to me, he said one day, "I love my wife more now than I did when I married her." I ain't got a clue what he meant. I was only a little boy. I know now what he meant. I know exactly what he meant. And we should be saying that, shouldn't we, of Jesus? I love him more now than when I first found him. Or when he first found me, he's better. Or is it, oh well, yeah, we plod on. Enoch was steadfast in the faith. He looked forward, not back, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. He endured a cross. Enoch increased in love. Our concern for this fallen world surely must increase as we develop in grace. And I ask you a second question. Are you more concerned for the lost today than you were 12 months ago? We live in a terrible time. He developed in doctrine. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Hebrews 6:1. How much more do you know about the Saviour than you did this time last year? Let's follow in the footsteps of this man of God, who despite the lack of revelation, he didn't have a Bible, he didn't have all the reference books we have, he didn't have all the preachers we can benefit from, but he lived with God and for God. But most importantly, let us follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did he then achieve? Well, he continued in the faith. We can't grow in grace if we have a casual relationship with Christ. Some people seem to think if they read their Bible in the morning and in the evening, that's good enough. We can then get on with life for the rest of the day. Well, we know we have to live in this world. But that's not walking with Jesus, just catching up with him now and again. We need to continue our walk every day. Gather spiritual food every day by reading the word, reading it regularly, worshipping the Lord, praying to God, watching his hand, denying ourselves, encouraging one another, having a regular routine. Not giving in to doubts. Lastly, walk with Jesus in his sufferings. For faith looks beyond the pain and the difficulty to the glory of the kingdom. Where Enoch is, he went to be with his God. No one can molest us there. No one can destroy that relationship. Enoch laboured for 300 years to bring souls into the kingdom in an ever increasingly wicked world, which eventually, as I said earlier, at the death of Methuselah, was destroyed apart from Noah and his family. He had his setbacks. I can't believe he didn't. He was human and there were humans all around him, but he kept going. He must have had an A level in helpfulness, not in destruction. That which we have seen and heard, declare we to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. So in summary, Enoch was a pattern, a role model for all Christians today. He lived close to God, was in step with God. He witnessed to an ungodly generation, a fearless preacher. He exercised faith by naming his son to warn the generations of the coming flood. He didn't follow the crowd. He rebuked the ungodly. He was not ashamed of his Lord. He honoured him all those 300 years. His faith was a daily devotion, a habitual relationship with God. By endeavouring to follow and keep close to our Lord, let's pray, devote ourselves, read his word, and encourage one another. And as that lovely benediction says at the end of Jude's letter, unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.